to Polly. Tales from years gone by. The subject of this life story began November the 10th, 1891, in my grandparents' little log house in the Beachvale School District, Salt Creek Township, Holmes County, Ohio, where I was born and christened Amelia Leonora Thom, the daughter of Charles and Emma Makita Limbacher Thom. Early in the year of 1892, my parents and I took up our abode on a farm at East Union near Apple Creek, Ohio. Within 2 years, my father and mother had disagreements and parted. Mother took me and went back to the home where I was born. And this is where I lived throughout my childhood and girlhood days. My grandparents kept me and cared for me, while mother did home housework for folks in Millersburg, earning money for my support. I had the best of loving care that any child could be given. Aunt Callie, Uncle Will, Uncle Ed, and Aunt Savilla were still at home, teaching school in the winters. Aunt Savilla taught music to pupils in their homes. Needless to say, I was teased by these uncles and aunts, thus I became saucy and naughty. I remember a number of times grandmother asked me to do certain tasks. I refused and would run away from her, hiding under the front porch. There was an open end, and I could crawl under it, and she couldn't reach me. However, when I'd come out from my hiding place, Aunt Savilla or Aunt Callie would get me and shut me in a dark closet in the living room. This was the closet beneath the stairway leading to the upstairs bedrooms. Sometimes, when my grandfather came into the house and found me shut in the closet, he opened the door and let me go with him. Go with him to where he was working. I do not remember of ever getting a whipping, but I was told many times that good children do not act that way. Sometimes I went with him into the garden to pull weeds. Yes, early in life, I knew growing vegetables from weeds and how to take care of them. Sometimes I had to ride the horse to guide him between rows of corn, while grandfather held the handles to the cultivator to break the ground around the small, tender plants of corn. I liked to ride Daisy when it wasn't too hot. Before too long a time, I was old enough to go to school. The first day of my school days, Aunt Sevilla took me to the little red brick schoolhouse at Beachvale. I had a little shiny tin pail that carried my lunch. A bread and butter jelly sandwich, piece of meat, pie or cookie. There were four rows of double seats and a big round stove in the center back of the room, burning coal to keep us warm. My teacher's name was Ed Painter. My first reading lesson was reading from a McGuffey's chart, pages probably 20 by 24 inches long, big. The first page had the picture of a rat with the word rat right beneath it. The first line on the lesson was a letter A. The second line, A rat. The third line, A rat ran. The first object was to learn the letter A, and then the words rat and ran. At the same time, we learned to spell these words. And by the time we had completed the lessons on this McGuffey chart, we had learned the words containing all the letters of the alphabet and the numbers up to 10. One time in early winter, our teacher said, "Now tomorrow afternoon, which would be on Friday, we will have a literary program." He assigned to each one in the room some poetry or jingle to learn and speak. Now this was mine, on a paper to take home and learn. "I had a little frog. It lived in a spring. It caught such a cold, it couldn't sing." Well, when my time came, I walked up the aisle to the front of the room, and I spoke my piece. And when the children applauded as I was taking my seat, I applauded too, only to learn later that one does not applaud your own performance. My clothes were always clean, and I was neatly dressed. For Christmas, my mother had made me a warm red eiderdown coat that was lined. The coat was made something like a dress. That is, the skirt was sewed to the waist. Now, the waist was a red and a white striped eiderdown, and the skirt part was red. It had pretty buttons for closing. Now, it was sewed up the front a little ways to make the skirt closed. Sometimes the children would say, "I was putting on my dress to go home." But it made no matter what they said. It was nice, and it kept me warm. I liked school, and I must say, I learned well the lessons that were taught. I recall an incident in probably the fifth or sixth grade that a close girlfriend, Jenny Kilgore, and I occupied one of the double seats. On the outside row, near the window. Just outside that window was the pump that afforded us our drinking water. A neighbor lady across the road came to get a basket of, or a bucket of water. And Jenny had always preferred the seat inside next to the aisle and the second row of seats where she could talk to the boys and girls around her. Thus, I had the outside seat next to the window. But Jenny wanted to see who was at the pump, and she walked to the window. The teacher, who was Elva Boyd, said, "Jenny, take your seat." Well, Jenny tried to push me over into the seat so she could just sit down. I refused to move until the teacher demanded. I said, "That's not fair. That's my seat." I believe that that was the first time I had ever talked back to any teacher. But I never forgot the unfairness and favoritism of that incident. In my last year of the eighth grade at Beach Vale, I took my sled to school, being permitted at noon and recesses to coast down a hill close by the school. One Friday afternoon, when sledding was just right, the kids, and I was one of them, didn't go in to the school house when the bell rang. We kept on coasting. Later on, when we wanted to go in to the room, our teacher, Ray Leeper, had locked the door. Yes, we were cold and wanted to come in. But we went to the house across from the school. The lady took us in, since one of the kids was her daughter. And we stayed there until school was dismissed. The teacher gave us a talking to on Monday morning, but by that time the snow had melted away and it was all over with. At the close of this year, we were supposed to have completed the so-called Common Branches, or the eighth grade. Those who were interested in going to high school went to Millersburg to take an examination in arithmetic, grammar, physiology, history, and so forth. And upon making a passing grade, we were eligible to go to high school. Now, this examination was called the Boxwell examination. As a little girl, I had been given tasks to do. I always had to help with the dishes. When Aunt Sevilla washed them, if I could dry them so that the tray was empty 3 times while doing them, I was allowed to quit, and Aunt Sevilla would have to finish alone. Or if I did the washing and she caught up 3 times drying, I had to finish. Yes, it was a game. We had fun. I always had my pet animals and a pair of bantam chicks. Now, they were a small variety of chickens with a reddish brown feather. I always fed them separately. And when the little hen wanted to lay eggs, she'd come cackling to the kitchen door. I would let her in, and she would strut into the next room where I'd made a nest in a desk drawer, and she'd lay her eggs there. After that, she was ready to go out again. After a period of laying 10 to 14 eggs, she was ready to hatch. Now that meant she wanted to sit on her eggs, keep them warm for 3 weeks. I'd fix for her a nest in the woodshed where she would sit on the eggs until the little bitty peeps would burst open the shell and come out to grow. Yes, they were teeny fuzzy chicks and were so soft and cuddly. And I loved to feed them and watch them grow. We always had cats, so there were always little kittens. I always had a dog that went with me on trails. Trails through the orchard, the woods, the meadows, and when I picked berries along the fence rows, when I gathered nuts, and also when I went to bring the cattle in from pasture. Yes, my dog, Bunny, was my pal. When I was about 4 years old, I had a habit of walking about with my eyes closed. I proceeded to go down 4 or 5 steps to the open room around the spring that gave us our water supply. The water came up from the ground through a big 3-foot tile. Now at the top of this tile was a groove cut roughly to take care of the overflow of the water. The water was then directed to a wooden trough in the room called the spring house. And this cold spring afforded us a refrigerator. As I was going down these steps one day with my eyes closed, I fell, hitting my forehead on the groove in the tile. I landed head down into the water. It was Aunt Sevilla, who saw this happen and rescued me. My grandfather hastily harnessed the horse, hitched it to the buggy, and grandmother took me up on her lap. They drove me to Dr. Carson's office in Benton. He closed the bleeding gash in my forehead with 6 or 7 stitches. In due time, it was all healed, but I never leisurely walked around again with my eyes closed. Did you ever, as a child, hate to get up in the morning? You call for breakfast? Well, I did. On the first call, I'd say, yes. On the second call, I'd say, yes, I'm up. But on the third and final call, yes, I'm coming, as I was rushing to pull on my clothes, putting them on as I was going down the stairs. My shoes and stockings were downstairs by the stove. And sometimes there was no time to put them on before eating. We all sat up to the table at once before Grandpa said grace. Some convenient time in the summer, my mother would take me to be with her where she was working. This was my vacation, a change of scenery from the country. I was allowed to play in the backyard with the children there, or to be with her at whatever she was doing. She always saw to it that I was cleaned and dressed up in my best to have dinner with the grown-ups. Oh, it was nice to sit down to a table of breakfast, beautiful china, silver, and lovely white linen cloths. I think I must have eaten timidly and sparingly for fear of getting food onto the tablecloth. Alice Cole, a lady mother worked for, was always very nice to me and often scolded my mother for keeping me in the backyard to play. When the circus would come to town, Mother would see to it that I got to see that. And on several occasions, when the business merchants of Millersburg sponsored their excursion train trips and special rates to Cedar Point with a picnic basket packed with goodies, and as she chaperoned the boys she cared for, I too was taken on the trips. I enjoyed it, and I had fun. And these thoughtful deeds of kindness from my mother at these times were highlights in my childhood days. Before I had completed my grade schooling, my uncles and aunts were married and left home, leaving my grandparents and me alone. Aunt Cirilla being the last to leave in 1903, it became necessary for me to help with all the chores and the work that I could do to help my grandparents. Thus, I was taught to work at an early age. And when the time came, I was given the opportunity to go to high school. Benton, Salt Creek Township had been granted a second grade charter, a three-year course, just a couple of years before I was old enough to go. I had to walk a little more than a mile to school. There were 14 or 15 of freshies enrolled in this year's class of 1905. The junior class ahead had 8 students. Our principal was Milton A. Wands. He was my teacher for 3 years that I was there. He was an excellent teacher and a strict disciplinarian. Everybody loved him. He often repeated this slogan: try to forget the things you want to remember, and you will never forget. My first year in high school were algebra, Latin, history, rhetoric, and composition. The second year, algebra, Caesar, history, and literature. The third year, geometry, Cicero, bookkeeping, physics, and German. And the third year, in the second semester, I was allowed to drop physics and German in favor of advanced common branches to prepare myself for public school teaching. My favorite studies were mathematics and Latin. History and literature required perhaps more time than I had always had for, but I always came up with the grade of excellent. The first 3 weeks in geometry had been a blank to me. I could see the truths in the problem, but to get to the blackboard, I'd have trouble explaining why. One evening, a young neighborhood boy, yes, boyfriend, who had been a graduate, One evening, a neighborhood boy friend, and was a whiz in geometry, came to call. He wanted to know how high school was going. I told him of my trouble with geometry. He started with the first problems to where my next day assignments were. And with his reasoning and patience, it all became clear. I grasped the solution to all the problems before, and I never had any trouble after that. I was grateful for my old boyfriend's help. From then on, studies went well. On the week of final exams, after Mr. Warnes had handed out the tests, he left the room. He went into an adjoining room, which was the lower grades. And when he returned, he had a glint in his eyes. He said, "All those who have cheated, either receiving help or giving help, will come to me by tomorrow evening and confess, or you will flunk." Well, the second clause hit me too. I had never received help, but I gave help. How did he know who cheated or who didn't? Had he peeked through the keyhole of the door? Or had he stood just on the opposite side of the door, listening for whispers? Or had he just imagined? I walked to school on Friday morning for no other reason. I had no classes that day, but to tell him I had never at any time been given help in tests, but yesterday I gave help. He thanked me for my honesty and hoped if I ever cheated, I'd be caught doing so. I do not know if the classmate who was chosen valedictorian ever confessed that she had held her paper for me to read and see if her answer was correct when she said, "Is my answer right?" I could easily have said no. But it was right. Huh. Well, only a short time before the finals, I had been told the high school honors of the class were between her and me. She was the belle of the town. She had everything, wealth, opportunities, time to help her along. She was the doctor's only child. Our final grades were always on a level. But she had taken the third year complete semester of academic studies. I was chosen, had chosen common branches, and was chosen salutatorian. At the time for us to graduate, there were six of us, all girls, to complete the course. Well, on Sunday evening, we went to baccalaureate services at the church. I had never attended one before. I wore a beautiful white blouse and a brown soft wool skirt. All the other girls had specially made dresses for the occasion. We wore no capes and gowns at that time. Commencement followed in a few days. We all wore our white dresses. Yes, mine stood out with the rest. When I gave my address as salutatorian, I forgot. But I repeated, and I came through all right. There was no prompting. My mother attended this commencement, the first of my school functions she had ever attended. There were cousins on my father's side of the family whom I had never met. Yes, I was embarrassed having forgotten in my speech. But I do not suppose that anyone else remembers it today but me. Yes, my high school days are over. They were busy days with full schedules for study, extracurricular, comedy plays for extra school finances, which often meant evening rehearsals. But I thoroughly enjoyed all my assignments. The last year brought on more work at home. Grandmother's heart condition kept her from being able to do much of the housework. I'd milk the cows in the morning and evening, took care of the milk at the spring house. I'd do sweeping and cleaning on weekends. Yes. I washed the clothes on Saturdays. Grandpa gave me all the help he was able to do. Can you imagine my pride when in my freshie year at high school, when he came home from the country store one day and had a pair of factory-made shoes for me. Yes, grandfather trade for years before had been a cobbler, and he made all the shoes I had ever worn before. My grandparents, who had been living in Mount Hope before coming to Beach Vale, had a family of 9 children living, and his business as a cobbler and grandmother's taking in washings and ironings was still a very meager living. thus the buying of a little settling on the little farm at Beachvale, where they could grow wheat for flour, corn, oats for cattle, so they could have a better living. Yes, I remember well when they took the wheat to the grist mill for flour, grinding it into flour, corn for cornmeal to make mush. Yes, many mornings for breakfast we had fried mush and sorghum. From the orchard we gathered fruits, peaches, plums, berries, and canning of apples for sauces and pies. Also, drying of fruits and vegetables. In the fall of the years, when apples were ripe, a day was set apart for cooking apple butter. Certain special apples were peeled on the evening before a neighborhood party of apple schnitzing. Early the next morning, the cider which had been made that day was put into a big copper kettle to boil, and boiled down for several hours. Then the apples were added, stirred until the apples were fined, and boiled down to a desired thickness of apple butter. When it was finished, it was put into gallon crocks, stored in a dry, cool place for the winter. Grandmother used to take a couple quarts of the boiled down cider and can it for later use in making her mincemeats for pies. Apples for winter use, and potatoes and vegetables such as beets, turnips, and cabbages were stored in bins in an underground open cave. Some time after Thanksgiving, there was a butchering day. Pigs were slaughtered, dressed and cut up. Hams were later cured. This was the meat for winter use. On a weekend, Grandpa would take eggs and butter to the country store in exchange for sugar, rice, kerosene for lamps, and such commodities as were needed, since there were no luxuries. Yes, there were no luxuries. I can remember a time for him to take produce to the store before I got a 5-cent writing tablet. We had prepared fruits and vegetables and grains for food, so we always had plenty to eat. Plain, nourishing food. After graduating from high school, where to from here? I was too young to get a teacher's certificate. My mother was working at the Painter's Children's Home for her Aunt Callie and Uncle Wilbur. that was near Millersburg. Her duties were to supervise the care of the children. There were some 20 or 30 in numbers. By fall of that year of 1908, Grandmother's heart condition had become worse. Mother's experience to take care of her would be better than I could give. So throughout that winter and the next summer, we took our turns at working at the orphanage and duties at the old home place. In the spring of 1909, I took the teacher's examination and passed, qualified to teach, before I had reached the legal age. But in August, not too long before time for the school bells to ring, there had been a vacancy at South Bunker Hill. And my aunt, Loretta Yoder, gave us a telephone call informing me that this school was in need of a teacher. Grandfather at once took me to apply. I had seen the president of the Board of Education, John Hostetler. I could speak the German language, which was in my favor, but was advised to see Amos Berkey, who lived directly across the road from the schoolhouse, as an influential parent in the district. He had four girls to go to school there that winter. The enrollment in winters, when the farm work was completed in the fall, there would be quite grown-up Amish boys who would come in for just the winter months. Thus, his question was, would you be able to have discipline? You don't look to be very husky. I replied, I had had no trouble taking care of boys and girls at the children's home, and I was willing to try. So from Mr. Hostetler's, we drove to the Amos Berkey place, a home just across the road from the schoolhouse. As we stopped at the front lawn gate, Amos Berkey came out to greet us. I told him who I was and that I was making application to teach there for the winter, that Mr. Hostetler had sent me to talk with him as a gentleman with influence in the neighborhood. His main concern was, would I be able to handle the discipline? Since after farm crops were done in the fall of the year, there were large older boys to come for advanced mathematics just for the winter months. I told him I'd had experience with children and had no fear of discipline. In a couple of days, I'd had her word, that I was hired to teach South Bunker Hill for 8 months at $40 per month. Arrangements were made that I room with Aunt Flora and Uncle Jake nearby. The Holmes County Teachers Institute, a yearly convocation of teachers before school began, was to be held in a short time in Millersburg. Mother arranged with some friends of hers for my room that week and meals with an old lady Cole, Dr. Cole's mother. On such occasions, she boarded folks coming into town. One day at noon, an unfortunate incident happened. A housefly got caught in a bowl of soup. The person called the waitress and said in a raucous voice, "Take Gas Valor out." Well, I felt so sorry for the waitress. And I thought it could have been handled in a more quiet way. And when I learned who this fellow was, he was the son of Amos Berkey. He was a high school principal of a two-year high school grade at Mount Hope. Well, my thoughts ran, what kind of people will I be dealing with? Labor Day was over. Grandpa had brought me to Aunt Florette's on Monday. On Tuesday morning, I rang the school bell, and the children answered the roll call, near 40. Among one of the first to enter the room was Elma Berkey. She was a second or third grader. She greeted me in German, "Thanks to Tante die Schulten Trauma," which meant, "Do you think that you can keep discipline?" I gave her a smile and said, "We'll see." Thus, enrollment and classes got off to a start with a greeting and a friendly smile for all. About the second or third week, one day Elma got up out of her seat, walking around, and stood by a window looking out to see what was going on with the thrashing rigs over near their barn. I said, "Elma, will you sit down?" And her reply came, "My dad said I didn't have to sit down." I looked at her sternly, and I said, and told her to sit down, "Take your seat. Your dad is not running this school." Well, all in the room had heard me speak, and I never had any discipline problems after that. Oh, yes, sometimes pupils had to stand in the corner for talking or whispering. So after a couple more weeks of classes, who should come to visit my classroom teaching but Albert Berkey? I shuddered at his appearance for fear of having disciplined his little sister too severely. But he watched for half an hour or more my method of teaching second and third grade readings. And as he was leaving, he commended my work, and I thanked him for coming in. About the latter part of October and early November, the fall farm crops had been harvested, and the big boys, 8 or 10, 15 to 17 years old, enrolled in for advanced classes and wanting mostly mathematics. I assigned them advanced arithmetic to keep them busy, and they respected my efforts and never caused any disciplinary problems. Now, Hulda Yoder, Uncle Jake's niece, was teaching at North Bunker Hill. We had become good friends, and she being at home nearby made it possible for me to meet her friends and become acquainted. In late October, there was a big Amish wedding for a couple in her school district. In the evening, there would be a big party for all the young people in the neighborhood. Hulda persuaded me to go with her. The barn floor had been cleaned. The place was lighted with oil lanterns. Games and party plates were in order. Sure, I joined the game, and I enjoyed the evening with them. Thus, I had made friends with the Amish and folks in the neighborhood. The shoemaker was no longer a stuck-up person, but friendly.